Welcome to Time with Tracy, and this is your girl Tracy here again today, every Tuesday 5:30 on UMFM 101.5. Here we talk about all the mental health questions, anything regarding mental health, and you know, you get to have answers for any questions you might have. You get to find out new stuff, get to understand more about mental health, and let's get into it. Yes, before I even go ahead, happy World Mental Health Day. I know it was October 10th, but you know, the fact that this radio show is basically about mental health, I had to bring it up. And in the spirit of mental health, this week we are going to be discussing one of the personality disorders that before I started doing psychology, I don't know if I've mentioned it before, I major in psychology, but before I started majoring in psychology and getting to learn more about this stuff, I actually did not know about this personality disorder. And when I got to study it, I sort of took interest in it. And you know, the good thing about studying psychology or studying anything in general is you get to learn more about it. And now, even if I meet someone with personality disorder, I get to know maybe, I get a glimpse of what goes on inside their head, or how can I make this person feel better? How can I make them feel happy? Or how can I try to give this person, you know, how can I just try to make their life easier or make their life better? How can I contribute from my side, for me as Tracy? So this week we are going to be talking about borderline personality disorder. And just to clarify, when I'm talking about this show or when I'm giving you stuff about mental health, yes, you do not have to like get everything I talk about, you know, from 5:30 to 6. But the thing that I want you to do is to have an idea about it. And maybe if it's something that kind of touches your heart or something that you feel like, hey, I'm so glad Tracy talked about it, I want to look more into it, you know, go ahead, take your time, go back, research. Because you know, I've talked about suicide here, I've talked about anxiety before, I've talked about breaking the stigma too. So you know, when you get interested in a topic, you can definitely always go research more about it, because we keep on saying this, the best way to break the stigma is by educating other people, educating ourselves, doing our best to contribute to the community and to the society. So, getting into it, borderline personality disorder is a mental health disorder that impacts the way you think and feel about yourself and others, causing problems functioning, you know, in everyday life. So this could include maybe thoughts when it comes to like your self-image issues, difficulty with managing emotions and behavior, and usually it comes with a pattern of unstable relationships. With borderline personality disorder, you have an intense fear of abandonment and instability, and we shall also mention this as we talk about more of the symptoms, what causes it, how can you help someone, or how can you help a friend, a family member, a brother, boyfriend, girlfriend, anyone in general who you might come across, and you know, they are able to tell you, I am, you know, dealing with borderline personality disorder and all this stuff. So, and they usually have a very difficult time tolerating being alone or spending time alone. Also, a person with BPD has inappropriate anger, impulsiveness. They have frequent mood swings and may push others away even if, you know, they are looking for a long and lasting relationship. One thing that is somehow very unique to borderline personality disorders is that they usually begin at early adulthood, and most times the condition seems to be worse in young adults and may actually get better with age. So basically, if a person starts showing symptoms and signs of borderline personality at like 13, 14, 15 years of age, they usually get better as they get much older. As you know, they get to their 20s or they get to their 30s, and it usually shows in the teenage times. So that's why it's very important for us to get to know about borderline personality disorder, because you might find that you have a niece, you have a nephew who is in the adult, who is in the, you know, young adulthood age, or you might find that your brothers, your sisters, you know, all these different kinds of relationships that we might have, they are in that age group. And it's, you know, if you have an idea of how it looks like, obviously you cannot diagnose it, but if you see that it's affecting their function, it's affecting their lives, their relationships, you could take interest and, you know, have an idea to speak to someone and be able to help them even much, much earlier. So for our next segment is we are going to talk about, you know, symptoms and signs. And one thing I want you to remember that, yes, as always, you know, emphasize this. Sometimes the symptoms are specific to one person, but this gives you a generalized idea of how a person with borderline personality disorder would feel, or they would act, or what goes on through their head. Number one, as already mentioned, is an intense fear of abandonment, or even going through extreme measures to avoid real or imagined separation or rejection. So this could be, you know, in a setting of like a romantic relationship, or it could even be in a setting of a friendship, and your friend, you know, when you try to be someone's friend and maybe something doesn't go according to their way, they get maybe so angry, or they get so fearful about being rejected, or about, you know, someone turning them down. Also, a pattern of unstable, intense relationships, such as idolizing, you know, someone one moment, and then, you know, a person with a borderline personality disorder in another second doesn't care, or they are cruel to this person that they were idolizing maybe yesterday or a day ago. Rapid changes in self-identity and self-image that may include shifting goals and values and seeing yourself as bad or as if you don't exist at all. Why I want to touch on this point is because this doesn't mean that, you know, a person is, you know, you've decided 3 years ago you wanted to do engineering, and then, you know, you've changed your mind and you want to do maybe to become a doctor or to become a nurse. Not that kind of, it has to be kind of drastic. For example, one moment the person is seeing themselves as, you know, bold, beautiful, courageous, engaging, all these amazing things, and then in the next moment they feel like, oh, maybe this is not true, I am not this person, I am not who I feel that I represent, or maybe I feel like now I'm an introvert if one moment they were feeling like they are extrovert. So it has to be rapid and it has to be fast. Then also periods of stress related paranoia and loss of contact with reality lasting a few minutes to a few hours. Most times, I guess, as they have said, right, it can happen for a shorter time, or if they are going through something that's really very stressful, it could be examinations, it could be taking this big test that, you know, gauges whether you're ready to enter a career, or it could be stress about a romantic relationship, or it could be stress about family issues or things going on within the family. Then also something that is usually very common is impulsive and risky behavior. This could include like gambling, reckless driving, unsafe sex, spending sprees, all these things that, you know, you'd think that when a person does them, they will be a bit mindful because they know that, hey, if I gamble all my money away, maybe I won't have rent for next week. But a person who may have borderline personality disorder usually engages in this kind of behavior without thinking about the consequences, or without considering that the consequences might be real or have a big impact. Another one that is very common is suicidal threats or behavior, and self-injury, and it's often a response in fear of separation or rejection. So this could be, you know, if a person is, if a friendship doesn't work out, or for example, if there's conflict in a friendship, in a relationship, and their reaction is to maybe cut themselves or hurt themselves in any way, this is usually a sign. And as I talked about it in my suicide episode, the moment something happens when it comes to like cutting themselves or anyone just, you know, consciously injuring their body, it's always a very big sign. It's always important not to ignore such a symptom, because it could be showing so many different signs, and sometimes these are cries for help. So always, always try not to ignore such a sign. Also, as already mentioned, wide mood swings lasting from hours or days, which could include intense happiness, irritability, shame, or anxiety. As I've already said, like, it could be, you know, a person this weekend is feeling, you know, nice. They're feeling, you know, let's do this, let's do that. I'm ready to engage with people. I'm ready to be outgoing. And then, let's say, for example, after the weekend is done and Monday comes and there hasn't been like something that could have caused this drastic change, but Monday has come and the person is feeling that, hey, I do not want to see people. I do not want to talk to anyone. I do not want to have any friends. Keeping track, this is why it's always important to check in with your friends and check in with ourselves. Because if I give you an example, just to drift away from, you know, the symptoms, if you know your friend is a person who is always maybe jolly, or you're seeing that, hey, the mood swings they're a bit concerning, like one moment you're okay, one moment you're not okay. But because you are a friend who continuously checks in, and because you are a family member or an acquaintance, I don't know, a person who continuously checks in, that's the only way that you'll be able to recognize such drastic changes. That's the only way you'll be able to recognize such mood swings. Because the truth is, you cannot recognize something if you do not know the change before. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. Inappropriate, intense anger, such as frequently losing their temper, being sarcastic or bitter, or even having physical fights. So basically, when it comes to borderline personality disorder, those are some of the symptoms that I have mentioned. And like, if you're feeling that your friend, your person is going through these symptoms, sometimes, you know, we always wonder, like, I feel like my friend is not okay. I feel like my sister is not okay. I feel like, yeah, we've talked about borderline personality disorders, and my teenage niece is kind of showing some of these signs. How can I approach it? How can I do this? Sometimes it's actually never a bad idea to talk to a professional before you approach a person that you feel might be going through maybe having this disorder. Because sometimes a professional, you'll talk to a professional and they'll be like, so that is actually probably true. Just, they'll give you steps on how to talk to your person. Or aside from that, I would give you some tips. You know, always call the person in private. Obviously, if you just call out a person and you're in a group of friends, you're in a group of all these people, and even this person themselves might be saying that, hey, I know I'm not doing okay, but maybe they don't want to take the step of trying to find some help. So if you call them out in public, or like, you know, I just think that maybe you might have borderline personality disorder, they might even get defensive and they might not take it in a good way if you come back and try and talk to them. So it's always much better for you to take them in a private situation and, you know, talk to them and be like, this is something I'm just thinking about. It's something that I feel that you may have. And if you feel like it's not true, we can always let go of the topic. Always make them feel like they have the choice. Sit them down, explain your understanding from what you've gotten. If you've got, you know, if you've, for example, I'm guessing if you feel like someone has this disorder, you've had it maybe from this show and you've gone and done your research and you feel like, hey, maybe my friend should seek some help. You know, go to them, sit them down, show them, oh, I got it from this website. I looked through these symptoms. Are they, and it's something that I've seen that maybe you've been going through, and I want you to know if you decide to seek some help or if you decide to know what's going on exactly, I'll be there for you. I'll help you throughout every step of the way. Just show them, because it might be something scary that's going on with them and they do not know how to react, but because they're seeing that, hey, I have my friend who's going to help me understand. Maybe when I go to meet a person and they tell me, oh, you have borderline personality disorder, I have my friend who I'll be able to do research with, or who will be able to support me in case of medications. Maybe because of the fact that you approach them with that loving heart, they are going to be able to ask for help. So always do it in a private setting. Always approach them with care, with love, with support. You know, tell them that it might seem scary, it might seem hard, but guess what? We are going to go through this together. We are going to, if you need help, you know, with talking about how you feel, I'm here. You can always call me. If you need help with reminder of medications, I'll be here. Talk to me. So that's one of the tips that I think you can take when it comes to approaching your friend or your partner that you feel might need to seek some help. One thing that's important to know, one thing that I just want to put out is that maybe you're wondering, what causes borderline personality disorder? Is there something specific? Is it, what could be the cause? Just like most of the other mental health disorders, the causes of borderline personality disorder have not yet fully been understood. And obviously, in addition to environmental factors, for example, environmental factors is history of child abuse or history of neglect, or environmental factors just mean things that a person has been through, right? So it could be family neglect, it could be domestic violence, or it could be growing up in what we can call maybe in a rough neighborhood, or in a neighborhood that's not safe or that doesn't feel welcoming. Borderline personality disorder has also been linked to like genetics, because some studies actually show that twins and families, they show that personality disorders may be inherited or that they are strongly associated with mental health disorders. And also another one is brain abnormalities. So this could be changes in certain areas of the brain which are involved in emotion, emotional regulation, impulsivity, aggression, or it could be brain chemicals. I'm sure some of you have heard like of serotonin, so which can regulate the mood, as we've talked about mood swings being a huge part of borderline personality. So the causes haven't been fully understood, but at least they give us an idea of where borderline personality be, you know, the causes of it. Some of the risk factors that obviously put someone at which increase the risk of someone develop borderline personality, as I already mentioned, them are stressful childhood. This could be, you know, being sexually or physically abused or neglected during childhood. Sometimes, you know, you might find that someone was separated from their parents at a very much younger age, or they grew up maybe moving from like a family to family, and maybe some families were not good to them as much. Or it could be, as mentioned, hereditary predisposition. That word was a bit harder to say. So you may be at a higher risk if a close relative, or for example, your mother or father, brother, sister, has a similar disorder. So usually there's a higher risk. Borderline personality disorder can damage many areas of our lives. You know, it could include repeated job changes or losses because of something that you've gone through. Because, you know, when we are at jobs or when we are at school, we end up making different relationships, and relationships are such a big part of borderline personality disorder. So that's where some of the complications come about. Or not completing education. It could include also multiple legal issues, conflict-filled relationships, self-injury, which is a very, very huge thing that, as I've said, this is something the moment you notice once, don't let it go. Always try to come back and investigate. Always try to help out. These are some of the signs that we can't just overlook. Yes, that's the word. They may be involved in abusive relationships because of the fact that, you know, they do want, we are all human, so we all want a long-lasting relationship. So this is where some of the complications come in. And also, just like, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but the thing with mental health disorders, you can actually be diagnosed with one or more. So sometimes a person with BPD might also have depression, they might have alcohol or other substance misuse, they might have anxiety, they might have eating disorders, bipolar disorder, PTSD, ADHD, and all these different other kinds of stuff. So one of the most important things that I really want to talk about today is how is BPD treated. Number one is psychotherapy. This is the main treatment for BPD. So your mental health professional, or if you go and speak to a person that is educated, for example, a therapist, a clinical psychologist, one of the therapy styles they'll talk to you about is cognitive behavior therapy, which, you know, tackles how you're thinking, how you interpret situations, how you interpret your day-to-day activities. And also dialectical behavior therapy, DBT, and schema focus therapy. So, as I said, CBT will help you identify and change unhealthy beliefs, unhealthy behaviors, inappropriate perceptions that you may have about yourself and others. And as we've said, these are the main things when it comes to BPD. And then DBT, which is the dialectical behavior therapy, will teach you how to recognize and to be aware and to accept your beliefs and behaviors, while the schema focus therapy will help you view yourself and the world in a more positive way. Also, something else that helps with BPD is medication. It doesn't cure BPD, but it relieves some of the symptoms. That's why you see, like I said, if a person has BPD as well as depression, which sometimes are affected with like serotonin, they may take antidepressants to treat the depression. They might take antipsychotics to treat the aggressive symptoms, and anti-anxiety medications to treat anxiety if it comes with their BPD. Then in some severe cases, you might find that a person with BPD might need to be hospitalized so that they can see a person like a professional on a daily basis, and they might be monitored for mostly if a person is having BPD with very high tendencies of self-injury or suicidal behavior. And, you know, one of the biggest things, as we've talked about, when it comes to, you know, a person going through any mental health disorder, or even as we talk about BPD, is support. Everyone in this world needs to be supported. You know, you might not have to be doing the biggest things, but a person knowing that, hey, I might be going through a tough time, but I know that I have this friend who I will call and tell them, hey, I'm facing a tough time right now. I just need someone to talk to. I just need someone to, you know, I feel like I've been in the house for so long. Maybe can we go to the park for a short walk? It's all about supporting. It's all about the community having open arms, so that even if a person that's having symptoms of BPD might feel like, I don't know what I'm going through, I don't know what is happening, but because I know the community will welcome me and will receive me with full arms, I can go and discover what is going on with me and how can I get better, how can, you know, put my life in a positive outlook. Before I, you know, finish up and before I head out, I also wanted to talk about the fact that BPD has a subtype known as quiet BPD. Now, the thing with quiet BPD is it means that you direct any mood swings and behaviors inward rather than directing them towards other people. So in other words, you act in rather than act out. So why I wanted to bring this out is because, just like we've talked about, I don't think I've talked about it yet, but if anyone has heard of smiling depression, whereby a person is, you know, going through the actual symptoms of depression, but they only go through them when they are alone or when they are with other people and not with they go through them alone and not when they are with other people. So it's basically how you can call high-functioning depression, but this is like high-functioning BPD. And the reason as to why we always, you know, the reason as why I emphasize talking about such stuff is because of this. If I personally, I was going through if I was going through inward BPD or if I was going through quiet BPD, most cases the only person who can recognize that I truly need some help is myself. That's why talking about mental health opens our eyes and gives us this kind of outlook of, I might be going through something before even anyone else notices it, and you can decide to go and get help by yourself. Yes, I always mention that, you know, you as a friend, as a family member, you can help someone get help. But even you as a person, you're bold, you're brave, you're strong, and you can get up and say that, hey, I don't think I'm actually, when we talk about the symptoms, when I Google or when I try to look for quiet BPD, I see that I'm facing most of these symptoms, like, you know, mood swings, I'm suppressing my feelings, I'm withdrawing when I am upset, I avoid talking to others who have upset me, you know, I just cut them off, or I blame myself when there's conflict, I have persistent feelings of guilt or shame, I try to have thick skin. These are literally some of the symptoms of quiet BPD, right? So when you talk about these, you get to discover that, hey, maybe am I like this? Do I need to check in with myself to see, are these symptoms? Am I having something with BPD? Maybe I should talk to someone. So I will always emphasize this, guys. Try to educate yourselves about these different types of disorders, because we can help each other, we can help ourselves, and we can make the community better. I could go on talking about BPD for longer than 30 minutes. For sure. But I wanted us to leave here knowing that, hey, I have an idea of what BPD looks like. Or even if you are someone who had no idea about borderline personality disorder like I did before I started, you know, psychology, now you can go and Google and try to learn more and see, even if you had a thought maybe when I was mentioning these, you know, these symptoms, and you're like, oh, maybe I feel like I'm relating to them, or I feel like my son is relating to them, or I feel like my daughter is relating to them. And you can now Google, because you have an idea of what BPD is. And in case you're a person going through BPD, I want you to know that you are very strong and you are very brave for you just even acknowledging that, hey, I'm going through this, or I have struggled with this, but I'm doing better. Even if you're not doing better yet, I know you are going to do better because you have decided to take this on headstrong. And just from, you know, the family of Time with Tracy, I want you to be super proud of you. And we are definitely here for you throughout your journey. And just always remember that you have got this. And a person who is supporting, you know, a person who already has been diagnosed with BPD, you know, be strong, support them where you can. Yes, you are not a superhero, but the thing with humans is that we can recognize support, and we can recognize that, hey, this person is doing the best they can to help me. So guys, with that, I hope you have an amazing week, and I'll see you again next week, Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. 101.5. And if you are not able to listen fully, you can always find my episodes on UMFM website under programming, and you can find all the different episodes I've talked about if it's something that I've mentioned that you might want to get to know more about. And that's all from me. Thank you so much, guys. Good week.